Hey everyone, this is Raz from the future. Before getting into this episode, I wanted to make a few quick announcements. The first being that I am going to launch a Patreon for Once Upon a Roll. Pretty much the free amount of bandwidth space and storage space is getting met quickly. So to continue to post regularly and not have to delete old episodes, more costs will have to go into it. So the hope of this Patreon is just to offset some of those to keep things running smoothly. If you're interested, I've posted a link in the description or check it out at Patreon, Once Upon a Roll. As time goes on, I'm going to add more rewards, but to start, you'll be able to get the podcast a day early. And also, I'm going to have a thing where you can create an NPC. It could just be a name, it could be name, class, race, whatever you want for it. Give me the information and it will show up in a future episode in some capacity, trying to make it somewhat important and not just a guy they see in the distance. So if that sort of thing interests you, again, please check out the Patreon. The link is in the description. The other thing is, as far as when episodes will come out, they will be every other Monday. So pretty much every 2 weeks on Monday, you should expect a new episode of the podcast. That's all I have. Thank you so much for everything. Thank you for listening, and enjoy the episode. Hey, I'm Raz, and this is Once Upon a Roll. Each episode, I bring on a guest and play a one-on-one session of D&D 5th edition in the land of Cortia, a homebrew setting that I've been using for the past year and a half. Each episode will take place at a different time and place across Cortia in order to better flesh out the setting. So if you missed an early episode, obviously feel free to go back and listen, but if you stay, you won't be completely lost, as this is a new story, and every week is a new story. Anyway, I would like to welcome on my guest of this episode. Some people call him the tiefling of humans. Welcome my friend Kyle to the show. Hey Kyle, how are you doing?
Hey Raz, thanks for having me, bud. I'm doing great. How about you?
I'm doing well. About to play D&D with a friend, so it's going to get much better. So the question I always ask my guests is, have you played D&D before?
Yes, plenty. I've played a lot of D&D. Host it, play it, nearly weekly.
It's a life thing, man. It becomes like breathing,
yeah.
Which is a problem. So obviously I asked that question knowing the answer, as I seem to typically do. You play in my game, I play in one of your games. So you and I spend a lot of our free time probably thinking about how we're running stuff as a DM, huh?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We're mutually obsessed, I'd say.
Yeah. have you ever played a one-on-one session before?
No, this is my, well, I've hosted a one-on-one session, but I've never played one. I'm really excited for that.
Okay. Yeah, obviously you've done a lot of DMing, and if you hosted one, you know what the back and forth can be like.
Yes, totally.
Yeah, not many people have done one-on-one sessions. I'm finding that
intimate.
Out more and more.
It's really, personal, I've found. Every discovery is like you're doing it with them. It's really fun. I think I'm glad that you're doing it, because I think more people need to see what it's like, because it is some of the most warm moments have happened.
Yeah, I thought I'd hate it. Like when it was first described to me, I'm like, that's stupid. And then I started doing it, I'm like, oh.
Yeah, this is awesome. Holy shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really cool.
But yeah, so I guess we should just start playing the game. You and I have talked a little bit about your character, but beyond that, you pretty much have no idea what's coming at you. So this will be fun. For me, at least.
Yeah, for you at least. I can't wait to host a funeral for a character I've known for maybe, you know, a week.
Yeah, well, we'll see how it all goes.
All right.
The kingdom of Cortia has thrived for over 1,000 years. In that time, it's endured war against powerful enemies, outlasted deadly feuds between its lords, and fought against evil, both of this plane and others. However, during the most recent Festival of the Autumn Sun, the sage's ritual revealed a nearly forgotten omen, the Sign of Black Sun, a symbol only seen once before, and it almost led to the destruction of Cortia. Panicked, the common folk in the capital city rioted, and when the dust settled, the king was dead, and his two children had disappeared in the night. The lord of the city of Edgewood, Tom Dunn, restored peace to the capital, and with no heirs of the king anywhere to be seen, he decided to sit the throne and take the position of Lord Regent. This story, however, takes place a little ways east of the capital, and a few weeks after the Festival of the Autumn Sun, in the city of Tipport. Located at the very edge of the Iden Peninsula, Tipport has long been a center for trade in Cortia, with the arid expanse of the Reach to its north and water in every other direction. Tipport had to rely on trade, and by and large, it's worked for them. Connecting trade routes from the great cities in the north to the capital in the south established commerce as Tipport's greatest asset. And wherever there are goods to be traded and sold, there are also criminals to slide in and get a cut of what should never have been theirs. And that is where you come in. The clerk holds his hands up as Malik, who is wearing a black mask identical to the one you have on, levels the crossbow to his face. Make one move and I'll shoot your fucking eye out of your socket. When Malik told you he had a job that required the utmost patience and tact, you hadn't imagined he meant armed robbery. But desperate times. Malik looks at you and says, F, grab the stuff.
Bahamut above, this is what you had in mind?
Just grab the stuff, man.
All right. I'll reach over and grab the sack.
As you reach over, the clerk shakes his hands up. Don't hurt me. And you just grab handfuls of jewelry that are on the display case. Necklaces, earrings, bracelets, all set with different ornate gems. You just grab them and put them in your pouch.
All right. Okay, Malik. I think we're done here.
Malik steps forward, so grabs him by the shirt. We know the best goods are in the back. Let us in. The clerk looks between you and Malik like, please don't hurt me.
You're fine, kid. I look over to Malik and give him kind of a side eye. All right, no, I'll finish this. I turn to the guy with his hands up. You gonna show us in or what?
This is all I have. There's nothing in the back.
Can I inside check that?
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Okay. 17?
He has something in the back, for sure. You can tell he's lying.
Right. Well, I'm going to walk up just a little bit closer to the desk that he's standing at.
Mm-hmm.
Pull out my cane, kind of lean in closer, rest the cane up against his chin. I feel like you're hiding something from me. You know, I don't often do this, right? This is low-budget thing for me. And I've been around the block a few times. I got an idea that you might be keeping something from me.
All right, make an intimidation check.
Okay, modded 20.
He is shaking even harder and he reaches behind him. Do you react to that at all?
Yes, totally. I'm gonna try to like grab his hand with my cane.
Yeah, you're able to just like, so you're just like throwing the cane there and like hitting his arm like the nah.
Yeah, so just smacking it out of the way basically.
He's like, my keys back there. You can get it. He like turns and you see his back pocket. There's like a little lump.
Yeah, right. I reach in to grab his keys. Without looking away from him, I'm going to toss the keys to Malik.
Yeah, so Malik runs in the back, uses the key to open the lock, and he opens, runs in. Holy shit, they got some good stuff back here, F. It's not bad. Can you make a perception check for me?
Mm-hmm, totally. 14.
Outside of the house, you start to hear footsteps. There's kind of a familiar chink of chainmail that you've grown to associate with Tipport's finest.
All right, Malik, wrap it up. I hear them. All right, they're coming.
Malik comes running out just with a giant bag in his arms. You hear the clink of seeming metal in there. You don't necessarily know what it's filled with. It doesn't seem like completely filled with gold or anything like that. You know, there are objects that are too lumpy and too big to just be gold coins, but it seems like some sort of valuable that he's interested in.
They're coming in, I think, at the front. So, what's your next idea?
I don't know. I just knew how to get into the place.
Oh, shit. All right. Give me the bag.
He ties it up and hands you the bag.
All right. We need a place to meet at and quick. Got any ideas at all?
He looks at the clerk and then looks at you. He's like about to open his mouth to say something, but then he makes a little gesture with his hands. That even though you are not necessarily a master of the thieves' cant, you know enough to know he's saying the normal spot, which for you is a well by South Dock.
Okay. All right. Scram. Getting out of here.
What way are you running?
So I'm going to run out the back, but as I run out into the back itself, it's so early, I don't know if I should.
As you're running out, you do hear knocking on the door saying, open up!
No, it's not. No, it's not too early.
And Malik's looking at the front door and looking at the back, and he starts running out the back with you.
Okay.
And the door starts bursting open. By now, you're already out the back, but you do hear the door get kicked open, and you hear the clerk who's working, "They went that way! They went that way!" But anyway, you're safe.
Ah, shit. I'm going to cast jump.
Okay.
I'm going to cast jump and try to leap onto a rooftop.
I'd say, like, at least the area you're in right now, you certainly would be able to jump. Holding this bag, you're going to have to make a check to see if you can kind of grab on and pull yourself, but much easier than trying to climb.
Fair game. Yeah, fuck it.
So you run out. Malik looks left and right, and he just dodges to the right. And you hear the clanking of this chainmail that you know Tayport's Finest always wears is coming near you. And you jump up. I'm going to have you roll athletics.
Oh, crap. 10.
10? Mm-hmm. That'll be enough. You jump up and you're able to like get slightly over the roof. You swing the bag over your shoulder and like have it land on the roof. And you kind of fall a bit, but your arms are able to hold on to the siding. And you just kind of pull yourself up slowly. The roof is probably like, you know, 15, 20 feet. So this is certainly a pretty major feat. The guards come out, look left and right. They see Malik running one way, and they don't see the second man that was kind of warned to them about. And they look up and see you somehow already on the roof looking down at them. One is going to take a shot at you with his crossbow that he quickly pulls out. That's a 13.
That's a miss.
So he shoots at you, but it just hits the side of the roof, and you're able to go. You're able to move if you'd like to.
Yeah, totally. Just rude, and then run away.
So are you just like taking a path across these roofs?
Yes, I'm trying my absolute best to just stay on top of these rooftops.
All right, I'm just gonna have you then make, because this is just jumping and no strength, like pull you up. Just an acrobatics check to see you jumping roof to roof.
12.
That'll be good enough. You're running, getting a little winded carrying this big bag of goods, but you're jumping from rooftop to rooftop. You are obviously taking a much more direct path to where you're trying to go than these guards ever could, as they kind of weave between the buildings. It seems like most of them probably went for the easier prey in Malik than you.
That's fair.
As you're going, you do get to a point where you're like, okay, I am away from where that threat was, but you aren't really trying to be stealthy here, right?
No, there's no way to be.
So you kind of look around, and you do notice that you are drawing some attention, and although you may be away from the guards who saw you running out of this building before, you certainly are getting looks from just passerbys being like, there's a guy on the roof with a big bag. they can make some assumptions. So you are starting to get people like pointed up, like, who's that? Who's that? And then, you know, one or two people who are good Samaritans, not good enough to try to stop you themselves, but are turning like, guards, there's someone over there on the roof.
Do I see any of these people congregating?
You would notice it. I feel like you've done this enough to be looking out for this sort of thing.
Okay, yeah. As I'm like looking out to some of the people kind of, you know, conjugating in the middle, I'm just going to turn a quick head and scream, Florence Gulliver's gonna get away with it! And keep running. Just gonna keep running and start to jump on top of rooftops.
So you're just sprinting?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I'm gonna try my best to just keep outrunning.
All right. Roll another acrobatics check.
Okay. Modded 21.
Nice. You yell it out and then just start bolting, making your jumps longer. Every once in a while, adding in a little flourish because you're being a real fuckboy here. And just, you know, doing a spin every once in a while. You know, the parkour roll. Eventually, you start to get to an area where you would know this. The roofs are a little less sturdy as you approach South Dock, which is the direction you're heading, the direction in general where you're from. A little poor, roofs often made of straw and things like that. So you kind of start seeing those come, and I imagine running on those might be challenging.
It definitely will be, and I definitely will try to do it.
Okay, so you're still going to try to do it?
Absolutely.
All right. So as you're running, you do see that like you are kind of drawing a further crowd. Okay. You're able to out-sprint pretty much every group of guards that is alerted to you and then starts chasing after you. But it is a consistent thing where you keep alerting them. But yeah, eventually you start seeing these straw houses. You're just going to try to run on them?
Yes, totally.
All right. You're going to run and jump. I want you to make a dex saving throw.
Okay. It's a 13.
You jump, step 1 foot on the straw roof, and you just fall through it. Collapse. The wood beams in it just break under your weight as you fall. You land on the ground, and a woman screams as she's standing over a stove. Her husband's sitting at a table about to take a bite of his meal. He's like, oh, what the fuck? And you're just laying on their floor.
Is that Minestrone? Huh. Well, and I stand up, brush myself off. Gotta go. Sorry. And just try to bolt out.
Yeah, you shoulder the door open. Make a strength check.
Not a strength check. 12.
Yeah, you go to shoulder the door. It doesn't do anything, so you open it and just, yeah, should have done that the first time. And watch just out.
Smells nice. Open the door.
As soon as you step out, make a perception check.
Okay. It's a 13.
You'd be able to see this. To your left, you see a handful of guards looking over at this commotion that just started as something just flew into someone's roof. And he starts blowing a whistle and pointing at you. He's like, stop there. Stop there.
Oh, right, right. Oh, yeah, yeah. No, I put one hand up. I start slowly trying to back into the straw hut where I just came from.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm going to try to get into the shadows in any possible way.
So you're going back inside the house.
Like, how far away am I from the house now?
Well, you, like, stepped out the door, went 3 feet.
Okay. All right. So I'm just, like, right there. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, no, I'm going to try to make a break for it and go back into the hut.
All right, so you just step back into the hut?
Yeah, I'm going to try and slam the door of the hut back closed.
Okay, you slam the door. The man and woman, like, look at you flabbergasted as you just go out. Nope, never mind, and come back in. What do you do when you come back in?
There's a bit of commotion outside, sorry.
They look shocked. The man just has his mouth agape, confused, not knowing what's going on. The woman looks at you doe-eyed for a second and then starts screaming and grabs a spoon from her pot and just starts whacking you with it.
Hey, hey,
get out! Get out!
Shit! All right, look, I'm a bad guy, but I'm not a terrible guy. I'm gonna pull out a couple of coins. This is for the roof. Slam it on the table. And then I'm gonna pull out a couple more. And this is so you don't tell me what happens next. You don't tell the guards, you don't tell anybody, all right? I slam, I'm gonna say 15 gold pieces total. Under the table, and I'm gonna cast this. I'm gonna use Mask of Many Faces to disguise myself as, I guess, as like an old crone, just an old lady with a sack of money in her hands.
All right, make a persuasion check.
Okay, that one.
She keeps screaming and hitting you with the spoon.
Oh, stop it!
You do see the man, like, scoop over the coins and put it in his pocket. There's a knock on the door, and the woman yells, come in! He's in here! And the door opens, and you see 4 guards stand in the doorway.
Thank goodness you came here! She's disguised as the criminal!
So what do you look like? You look like an old crone.
I'm just like an old graying human woman, jowls hanging like to my collarbone, eyes not even visible, so hooded. And I'm wearing like a big flappy hat. I look like somebody's like just sad aunt. I'm just super old.
Roll a deception check at disadvantage.
Fuck, I had a 21. 9.
You're saying this and the woman's like still hitting you with the spoon. She's like, liar! Liar! And the man says, I don't know what this one is, but some sort of magician. It was a man in a black mask and then turned into an old woman. Gotta arrest him. The guards start moving in on you.
Oh my god. How many guards are there?
There are 4 right in front of you.
Holy shit. Are there any guards that are closer to me than any of them else? Like, is one... Are they all coming at me like a wall, or is one closer to me than all the rest?
Two are closer. Like, 2 are inching in. One's kind of standing in the doorway, and the other is, like, standing outside of the doorway as support.
I'm gonna try casting Levitate on myself.
Okay. What is all involved in casting Levitate?
I pull out a small bent piece of golden wire and bend it up into a cup shape. It's just an action, and it's a concentration spell up to 10 minutes. So I basically When I cast Levitate, I can go vertically up to 20 feet, and I can stay suspended there for up to 10 minutes. Up to 500 pounds can be lifted.
Okay. You fold that up really quick, your copper wire, quickly, and begin to levitate. So they're moving towards you kind of slowly, like curious as to what this old crone is doing. And then you just start floating out of the hole that you just fell in from. And you are just right outside the building.
As I'm levitating, I'm going to just scream, "Help! She's levitating me! Somebody, please!" And then I'm just going to keep, I'm gonna keep levitating till I make it up to the roof.
Yeah, yeah. You do that pretty quickly.
Okay, as soon as I make it up to the roof, I'm going to start just, fuck, try to grab some footing and just keep running.
Okay. Yeah, you put your feet kind of on the side where you know it's not hay, or where you know it's not straw. And do you jump down onto the ground, or are you trying to run across the roofs more?
I'm going to take a peek down at wherever the ground is, quote unquote, just to see if there's any guards anywhere.
Right there, no. It seems like the guards right now are on the other side of the house.
And I'm not seeing anybody in my vicinity?
At least not in the alley right behind this house.
Okay. Then I will dodge into the alley. And I will instantly cast Mask of Many Faces again. And I will make myself look like one of the guards I just saw.
Okay. Yeah. Like exactly like one of the guards? Or
No, I'm gonna go for just the most bland-looking motherfucker. Just, I'm talking like sheer white, brown hair, like shoulder length, just default RPG character.
Okay. Yeah, you do that. You are still holding this bag. That will not change with you. As it's just like a little too much.
Yeah.
To fully work with that. But yeah, you look like a guard. After a few moments, you see two of the guards run around the alley and you know, spot you right there. What are you doing?
Thank goodness. He dropped this. We left this here, but I haven't seemed to have found him yet, so I don't know where he went. Do you two mind helping me out here? I'll hold the bag, but do you two mind helping me? I think he's still on the rooftops.
Roll a deception check, and I'll give you advantage because of the disguise self.
Okay. Nat 20. Two nat 20s.
Two nat 20s.
Yeah.
Yes, hold on to the bag. You'll need to turn that into the precinct. Which way?
I believe it was northeast. That's where I last saw it.
And they both start running northeast. One of them, like, actually stops back and calls to the front. He's like, "You went northeast! Northeast! We got the bag, though. Find him!"
All right, as soon as I hear that, I'll be like, "All right, slink back into the shadows and start heading southeast for the well."
Okay. Holding this treasure as a guard, start walking away from the scene of your crimes. The scenes of your crimes, really. And you don't draw a lot of questions from other people now that you're in the shape of an authority figure. And then you move along towards South Dock.
I guess I'm going to just continue going. And I'm going to start trying to, whenever I'm out of the way of people, start taking things out of my bag. Start putting them in my pockets instead, so the bag gets a little smaller, less distinguishable.
Yeah, make a sleight of hand check as you do this.
Okay. That'd be an 11.
Yeah, you could probably be a little more cautious about this. You know, every once in a while you'll pull an item out, like, look around, like, where do I have space for it? You're not doing as quick of slips as, you know, you usually do, or you would hope. So you do every once in a while kind of get the attention of a few people in the area, but nobody comes up to question you. Make a perception check, though.
Okay. 17.
You do notice, not people you know, but as you get more and more into South Dock, which is certainly one of the more poor areas and more crime-intensive areas, you notice a few kind of unruly figures seeing you carrying all these things, seeing you put away these things, and they kind of peel off from the post that they were standing by and slowly follow behind you.
I'm not going to be couth about it at all. I'm going to turn around. Excuse me, gentlemen. Is there something we need?
Oh, yeah. Just look like you got some nice stuff in that bag there.
Oh,
I can help carry it for you.
Help carry, please. I start sticking my hand in the bag. Just take it. Why not? Right? Some dirty criminal took it, right?
If you want us to take it, we sure can.
He had a lot. He had a lot to give. I mean, this was like 6 bags. Florence Gulliver, that's his name. Yeah, he's just giving it away. He's that great.
They look between each other. Florence gave you this.
I suppose so, right? What a tease.
Well, why don't you give us what you have left in there, and We'll go ask him for some more.
You know what? Sounds like a wonderful... And I just start running.
They start sprinting after you as soon as you start off. Make an athletics check.
No. 16.
You are able to sprint a little bit faster than them, dodge around a few corners, and evade them.
Okay, fair game.
They rolled a 5, so... Yeah, eventually you get closer and closer to the meeting spot that you had, the safe place, the well.
Okay, I'm not going to cause a scene anymore. Just going to like try and slink my way there.
Okay. As you get away, you start moving towards the well, which is a well that has not been used for water in South Dock for probably 15 years. You head over. Some of the stones on it are broken. You toss the bag down, put one foot over and the other foot, and start climbing down the ladder that's on it.
Okay, cool. All right. As I'm climbing down the well, I guess I'm going to yell out, "All right, Malik, you get mugged this time. Sorry, I got stuck."
You slide down the ladder and walk down a kind of windy path. There are a ton of different splits in this. You know them by heart by now. You know, so you take a left, a right, and then go straight for a while, another left, another right. It's routine for you at this point. And eventually you come to a door in front of you that you give your secret knock to.
Okay. By that, I just grumble.
Give a little grumble. And you hear Malik's voice behind me like, "No, you have to do the knock."
Really? You're looking at me. You know I'm there.
I still want you to do the knock.
All right.
That's not the one we practiced, but whatever. He opens the door.
All right, I'll mosey. I'll slip in.
Hey, good work there. We did pretty well.
I'm trying to think. Is it 2, 3? I don't remember how many times I almost got the shit kicked out of me. What happened to you?
You know, I just ran. I'm pretty fast. It is what it is. What can I say?
Mm-hmm. I saw that. I take the sack from off my shoulder and just plop it on the ground. All right.
Well, damn, not bad.
Making this too much work. I mean, that was a simple job. Easily a simple job. What was that all about?
Your way takes so damn long, okay?
Well.
It's fast. Faster. We're here now. We got the money.
Yeah, but it's chump change. Come on. What are we going to buy with this? Food? Yeah, maybe.
Pretty damn broke as it is, so I don't see why you're complaining.
We could have, like, magic items. We could be out of here. We don't have to keep, you know, stealing for bread. What are we, some prince? Come on, we can do whatever we want.
Why do you want to get out of here so bad?
We're capable. Malik, we're a team. I mean, we've got everything we could ever want. Why stay in Tippert? Right? There's places like Cortia, Valia, Teldwith. Everywhere's better than here. Just think about it. I mean, like they're going to want me or you around? Look at me. You kidding me? Anywhere's better than here.
He takes a seat and pulls off his mask. He's human, pretty tan skin. He has a lot of scarring on his cheek, kind of like acne pock scarring. His brown hair is short, but cut not for style. it's not all that good looking on him. It has that kind of stringy aspect to it.
Mm-hmm.
Take your mask off and stay a while, okay?
All right. I'll pull off my mask.
And why don't you now officially describe what Florence looks like?
So Florence Gulliver is a drow warlock criminal. He has very long shoulder-length white hair, sort of a piercing sanguine eye. And I say eye because he has a patch over one that he wears. And he is adorned in some very garish-looking clothing. Obviously, just meant to look that way. Like a rich blue with pinstripes, really stands out and looks like, I mean, just an absolute freak show. A handsome one, though. A very handsome one.
The handsome freak show.
That's right.
It's a good aesthetic.
Yeah, I'd say.
Malik looks at you. You don't steal magical items because they track those a lot more. You take those, you get a bunch of wizards after you. You don't want that. You don't want that, man. You get the small stuff. People forget about the small stuff.
I'm not asking for table scraps. I mean, what if I want that? You know, you steal from a wizard, you give to another. You could make some powerful allies. I want to be remembered for this.
This is fate, destiny. There's a place for us.
I think my place is right here in Tipport. It's where I was born. It's where I die. It'll be okay. You have a place here too,
Malik. You know I hate it when you start talking all the small town sensibility. It's just not the same.
Florence, you have a name here. How many people have stolen something from Fenris and lived? You're a legend here.
Fenris ain't shit, all right? Fenris ain't shit. And don't mention his name around me, all right? He ain't nothing to me.
Hey, look, I know you've been keeping an eye out for him.
Fuck you.
Whatever. I was going to tell you that I learned about some people who know some stuff about him. Might be able for you to get a little revenge on him. Take a little bit of his earnings.
Oh, yeah? What do we mean, earnings? We talking gold or something a little more valuable?
I don't know. Just messing with his business. I figured that'd be something you're interested in. You always talk like you don't care about the man, but I know you do.
Well, listen, Malik, I ain't about spitting on his shoes. I mean, I ought to give him something.
You know, you could always try working for him. I'm sure he'd hire you.
Oh, are you kidding me? Really? Man gouges my eye out and I'm going to work for him? Is that how that works? Is that criminal business? Malik, I don't know how you got your start, but I'm not doing that. There's no reason. I'm not going to climb my way up. I'm going to jump my way up.
Okay, well then, if you want to jump your way up, the move is to mess with someone like him.
Yeah, right. I'll fuck with Fenris, but he's going to see me as an equal, not as some goon. All right? Not a subordinate. Got to do something. Something big.
So, what I want to tell you about. I met this broad. Her name's Tessa. She runs with that Salvation crowd. She's got this wizard friend. They know things. They find things out without even needing to say something to someone. They make it their business to know people's business. You know, offer them maybe some of what you got. And who knows? They might help you.
All right. You said Tessa, right? Don't have anything else on this? No last name, nothing? Just Tessa?
Tessa Thorne. I've never met her, but heard she's in town.
Okay. Have I ever recognized the name Tessa Thorne?
Roll a history check.
Sure. 9.
No, you've never heard the name. You've heard of the Salvation, which is one of the major crime syndicates, mostly on the eastern coast, especially out of Frydia. There's a decent, you know, representation of them in Tipport, but they're certainly not the main game here.
Right. Malik, it's a start. All right. So, we go see the Salvation, air quotes, and we get some stuff on Fenris. That's the plan?
Yeah, look, I'm as afraid of Fenris as anyone else out there, but you want to make moves, you want to do something bigger, that's the direction to go. You make people afraid of you. People aren't going to be afraid of me. Look at me. I'm a, you know, something. But I can be that guy next to you, you know, who looks a little scary. And he stands up, crosses his arm. See?
How scary does he look?
You've known him long enough to not really see it as scary. But he's strong. He's got pretty sizable muscles. And to some people, certainly he'd be viewed as a threat.
I just like feign a flinch. Like, oh, yeah, that's something else. I'm giving you shit, Malik, but you've been good to me. I can appreciate that. I ain't really got nobody else. What did they fuck us?
Well, then they, you know, they fuck us then. Oh, you mean like screw us over? Oh.
Yeah, no, gross, man. That's not.
We don't let them. We get to her first. They don't have any reason to do it. Salvation doesn't like Fenris. They hate him. Knocking him down a peg works for them.
A co-op. Yeah, all right. Co-op could work. Fuck it. Malik, let's work with the Salvation. It could kill us. It will kill us, but no case, right? Fuck it. But I'm not doing it this morning. Are you kidding me? My feet are so sore. Oh, that was terrible.
Okay, I don't know how long they're in town for. I think they're only here for a little bit, but you should be able to catch them later tonight. I hear they're on Queen's Dock.
Queen's Dock. Queen's Dock. Got it. Queen's Dock. You coming with, or am I going by myself?
I mean, you know, I was, listen, I ran a lot faster than you. I'm tired too. I was going to just stick back here. But if you want me to come, I can, I guess.
I leapt 40 feet in the air. Whatever, man. Just relax here. And old Flo will take it from here, all right? Don't you worry.
Never do, man. And he leans back. Never do.
He sweeps his hair back. And when you hear about Florence's next big score, you keep your eyes peeled, all right? You never know what I'm piecing out.
All right. So do you just rest around for a little while?
Yes, totally.
Okay.
I need those spells back.
I mean, I imagine you rest for probably longer than what technically a short rest is, but you get all your spells back, which is two.
Yes.
And are good to go. Warlocks, man.
Thank God.
They are fun. Enough time passes. You play around with your seeker's chain a bit and just focus on the events of the morning and how things have gone. And yeah, eventually the afternoon passes and you are ready to head out.
When I wake up already, drowsy, terrible, I flip my eye patch back under the right eye, and I wake up, check my suit, make sure everything's in order, sweep my hair back, lick it, smack it back into place. Is Malik awake?
Malik left. I mean, as you look around this place, it's certainly not like a super nice room in here. It's more like a clubhouse. And okay. It's not where Florence really lives.
Right.
It's just kind of a place to
HQ.
Lay low for a little while. Yeah. Store some stuff.
This place is a shithole. God. All right. And I'll start walking my way out.
Yeah. You walk your way through the familiar little cavern, eventually climb up the ladder and are on the other side of the well. Then you start heading to the Queen's Dock area, also often called as the Queen's Pier. Your experience on the city has mostly been on the piers. You like being a little closer to the ocean, as that's kind of where the action happens. As you move more inland and away from the water, you get a lot more nobles and, boring folk. But, a lot of the people that like to live the kind of life you do live near the piers.
Fair game.
So you're pretty familiar with that area.
Yeah, okay. I think one thing that I'd like to do as I'm gallivanting is to make sure I use masks of many faces to disguise myself as human me, not drow me.
Okay.
Just so I don't arouse much suspicion.
Okay. So yeah, you disguise yourself as human. Do you still have the eye patch?
Yeah, fuck it. He's not thinking about it.
So is it just kind of like you, but not drow?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's just human, cool. Florence.
Yeah. So Florence walks around. The sun is starting to set. You see a lot of fishermen coming in. People are done kind of moving boxes from cargo ships and whatnot. And people seem to be generally heading home from their day's work. And yeah, you head to the Queen's Pier. You look around and this is kind of one of the more specialized piers, as it is the only pier that is also sanctioned to host airships, which you guys only get a few of every few months, but every once in a while one will come in, and you do see an airship docked.
All right, I guess I'm going to start walking my way up to the airship.
Yeah, as you get to the airship, you see a few people carrying boxes and barrels from a ship that's nearby, on a dock nearby, and carrying them from that ship up onto the airship and placing them in.
Alrighty.
Eventually, you see, standing next to the ship, kind of shouting out directions at people, is a blonde woman. She has blonde hair that she keeps in a loose braid, and as you look at her belt, there are more daggers there than anyone could realistically need. And she looks at you as you approach.
Twirl my cane up in the air, all animated, and start really hamming it up, walking my way up there. Morning. Is it even morning?
She says, evening.
Yeah, should have seen that one. Sorry, I've been drinking a bit, and I snap my disguise off.
I suppose you might be Tessa, right?
What's it to you?
Well, first off, lovely outfit, by the way. I see you're a woman of fashion. That is absolutely incredible. And I dig the... He just kind of wags a finger, all the daggers, you know, whatever that is. Whatever. You know about a Fenris Copperbron, any?
Yeah, probably one of the only people worth knowing in this damn town.
This town sucks, but Fenris ain't shit, all right? He sucks. But, yeah.
She gives a little smile. And in general, as you look at her, there's always, like, a little devilish smile on her lips. And you can't tell if it's because she's making fun of you in her head or... She's just always that happy. Who knows?
I meet her with just a dead stare. I look like a corpse.
Yeah, he ain't shit. So, listen, I didn't want any help in this, but it's probably smart. I was told that I should see the salvation.
As you say salvation, she steps forward and is like, these aren't the things you say in the middle of a fucking road, okay? You don't say this shit outside. Do you like your neck?
Well, are you not proud of it? Come on. You're untouchable. Obviously. You could say whatever you wanted to, right?
Yeah, but I don't. And that's how I stay alive.
All right. Right. Miss Thorne, correct? Listen, I'm here to make a negotiation. I could really use your help with Fenris. I won't make a fuss about it. All right? I'm willing to cooperate. It just... I need to get him back some way, all right? I don't have a lot of leverage, and obviously you do. You have an airship. That's a bit more than I've got. I've got this. He holds up the cane. That's about it. So I'm willing to do what I have to do. Just please be fair and be quick with it. Whatever it is.
What do you want?
I don't know. Fenris took something from me. My life hasn't been the same without it. I'm not asking for it back. Just asking that he knows what it's like. You know what I mean? And he lifts up his eye patch.
All right, roll a persuasion check, and I'll give you advantage for the eye patch lift.
Okay. 22.
Appreciate that. Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Bad business with Fenris. That's always fun to get in the middle of.
He can't help but smirk. Well, is it... Does it sound like a deal?
She turns towards the ship and yells, Mara! And a few moments pass, and then a brown-haired woman who keeps her hair wrapped in a bun and just kind of has a stern look on her face, which again counters Tessa's as she can't stop smiling, walks over. She's like, yes, what do you want? This one could use some information on Fenris, looking to make a move. I figured maybe you could spend a little time out, get a little information from him. See if you can help him. Mar turns to you and says, what are you paying?
I've got a sack of gold back. Ooh, do I? I say that out loud. Do I even have that anymore? Or did Malik take most of the share?
He took his share, which is half.
He goes kind of red in the face. I got like half a sack of gold.
Roll a persuasion check. this time at disadvantage.
15.
Mara rolls her eyes. What else can you offer?
Sort of taps his can on the floor, like, kind of panicking a little bit. I mean, what could you possibly want?
Listen, I'll do most anything, just not anything. You know what I mean? Let's keep things civil. You name it. If it's labor, if it's items, no worldly possessions on me. Except these worldly possessions, please.
Tessa smiles and says, the cane looks nice. Throw that in.
Oh, no. Yeah, this is it. This is all I got. I mean, if you want my eye patch, you want my clothes, you can have it. But this cane is the only thing I got. I can't be doing anything without this. This is the only way I can get my job done. You're going to need this. You're going to need me to need this.
Mara sighs again and looks at Tessa. We could probably use help on the transport. You never know what sort of things will come up on the journey.
Are you kidding me? I'm very capable. Very. Obviously. Florence Gulliver, by the way. That's my name.
Tessa looks you up and down. Are you good in a fight?
Oh,
are
you kidding me? Yeah. And he starts kind of like feigning like a boxer stance. I'm a wet dog. But I can do
roll
it.
Roll a deception check.
25.
They look impressed as you do it. They can kind of see, and based on how you snapped in and out of who you were earlier, Tessa can tell you're a magic user and is somewhat impressed by that. They look at each other. We could use him. We give him the information. He helps us out. Win-win for us all.
Wicked left jab. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, look at that. He's just completely off in his own world.
Mara, like, turns her head and rolls her eyes. Mara says, I don't know. It's better than nothing, I think. Tessa nods. Okay. Mara will get you some information. We set off in this thing the night after next. So your business better be handled by then.
So it's a deal? He sticks out a sweaty hand.
Tessa doesn't shake it, but she says, yes, it's a deal.
Ooh, this goes back to slicking his hair. So business, night before. Then we, okay, all right. So, can we get a quick recap on that?
Mara goes below deck. We're headed out the night after next. We need your protection. It gives you like a lowdown on just what would be expected. If we have any troubles passing any sort of borders, you'll help us out, blah, 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 all that good stuff. Mara eventually comes back up and she snaps her fingers and her appearance changes into an old woman.
I can do that too, check it. And I'll mirror her.
And she just keeps walking past you.
Oh my God.
I'll be back in 2 hours and heads out.
Am I still with Tessa?
Yeah, you're with Tessa still.
But I'm at above. I mean, you can't impress these people.
Mara, you're saying?
Yeah, I mean, jeez. Stone cold. I ain't ever seen anything like that.
Oh yeah, she's great. You, sit around. Eventually, Tessa says, okay, you know, if you're helping us out with our shipment travels, you might as well help carry in some boxes. So she leads you down to the cargo ship that they're bringing stuff up from and asks you to carry a few bins. Roll a strength check.
Oh, can't even levitate these. 6!
Yeah, you are just kind of like doing the push against it and it's not moving at all. You know, back up against it. Just nothing.
This is the hardest thing I've ever done in my life.
After 2 hours, Mara comes back and you have pushed the box halfway.
Yeah, I'm doing it.
From the ship to the airship, which they're only about like 300 feet apart from each other.
Let's go. Come on.
Tessa, who is back up just by the airship, watching you struggle, waves you over as Mara comes in.
He just waves for a second, and then he gets what's going on and goes up.
Mara puts her hood down and is back to her original form. Okay, I had a few conversations with some of Fenris's men and peered into their minds a little bit. And this is the first time you see her smile as she says that.
Oh, that's creepy.
Do you say that out loud?
Yeah, why not?
She then immediately, the smile stops, just firm-faced. Tessa gives a bigger smile than she had before, though, and a little laugh.
I just stand there with, like, my hand over my mouth, really awkward, like I've crossed someone. I look like I've got my tail between my legs.
Okay. Looks like Fenris has a job he wants to get done. A woman named Cynthia Latrick? Do you know?
Oh, you're kidding me. Of course I know. Do I know?
You roll a history check.
9.
You would have heard the Latrick name. Just a noble house, you know, from the area.
I get you. Very, very noble, very, bourgeois. Yeah, I get it.
You would know the family is just, so there's a little mountain range to the north in the Reach. And there's a handful of families that live up there in these just massive mountainside mansions. And she's from one of those families, but obviously has been spending some time living in the city.
So he's robbing some city girl, is that?
Yes. She apparently recently inherited the crown of First Hall after her father passed. Her brother got the keep and title, and she got a little piece of jewelry. Sounds fair. Guess it belonged to some ancient Bennett queen, and was gifted to the Lotrick family after some act of heroism on one of the more notable family members' part. It's been passed down generation to generation, and now she's got it. He wants to take it and plant it on someone who has kind of been defying his orders.
His face is just kind of crumpled up, trying to, like, digest Bennett, Lothric, all of these names at the same time.
The Bennett name would be the easiest to remember, as it's also been the talk of the town a lot with what happened in Cortia recently and King Aiden Bennett being killed by a mob. So you're certainly familiar with that name. The Lothric name, you would have just heard in passing once or twice and not necessarily known any importance to it.
Well, all right. So
this,
yes.
Yeah, there's this council member. He's one of the council members of one of the inland districts. I'm not sure which one. His name's Benjamin Milliam. He has been working on the council for a while and has been doing some things that Fenris doesn't like, and Fenris wants to remind him about his place, so he's going to frame him.
So, framing Benjamin. And Cynthia's got the crown. So Fenris is going to go in, steal something from Cynthia, frame Benjamin. Am I getting that right?
That's what it seems like.
Really? Shit. I guess I was paying attention. All right, so this Cynthia, we gotta get to her first, right? I gotta go get to her first.
Mara nods and walks away.
Well, shit, Tessa, what am I supposed to do?
You asked for information, Tessa says. And we got it for you, so see you the night after next. If you don't come, you know, we'll track you down and kill you, or whatever. Have a good day.
Doing me a favor at this point. I walk away.
Okay. Where are you heading?
Shit. Now that I've got a lead of where I need to be, fuck it. I'm gonna go looking around for Malik. See where he might... first off, before I do it, do I have any idea where he is? Because if I don't, I'm just gonna go heading straight for Cynthia instead, then.
You would have a guess of places Malik might go.
Okay.
You know a few taverns on South Pier that he likes, so you can head in that direction.
I'll go in the pub crawl.
Pub crawl, baby.
One man pub right. crawl.
Yeah, you head to the Even Pegasus. It's a tavern that was made a long time ago when Tipport was really just kind of being established, and it was supposed to be this premier tavern that they thought everyone would go to. They built it huge, and they built it in South Pier that they thought would be, you know, this hub of trade and wealth and one of the nicer places. But over time, South Pier has become really, you know, not that. and other piers have gotten much more of the wealth and where people wanted to be. So it's kind of this big, like, ornate tavern with these, like, beautiful pillars out in front, just way out of place for the district. And it's getting really run down at this point. But it's certainly a place that has enough seats and enough fire in the hearth to keep you warm. And a lot of booze. Like, all the booze. Like, tons of booze.
Okay. Before I walk in, I'm gonna mask of many faces myself. I'm gonna make myself, like, a very voluptuous figure. I make myself like a woman with long shoulder length, back length hair, big floppy hat. I'm gonna look like a 50s cocktail waitress.
Yeah. So you start walking in. You walk past the pillars. You look up and you see, kind of on top of the entryway, it used to be like a Pegasus kind of flying over the doorway, like a statue of one. But parts of it have broken, like both of the wings on the Pegasus have broken and are no longer on it. So it's really now just a horse, like a statue of a horse going over it. So yeah, you walk in, beautiful, and you look around. It only takes a minute for you to see Malik sitting in the corner, surrounded by no one. Just a bunch of empty chairs that he's kind of like looking around, hoping someone fills.
All right, I'm just going to mosey on over to his seat. Is sit down without a word and give him an icy glare. I'm just going to sit there for a second. And I smile, begin to part my lips. Before I say anything, this just deep, rough, "All right, Malik, I've got a job for you."
God damn it, Florence. I thought for once a beautiful woman wanted to sit with me. And this how you doing me, man?
Are you kidding me? Nobody else knows it. Hey, there's a beautiful woman sitting right next to you.
Yeah, but I know it's your ugly mug behind it, okay?
Yeah, but nobody else knows. Come on, Malik.
All right, man. What's the job? You found something about Fenris? You talked to those ladies?
Yeah, I did. And they're willing to fuck Fenris as hard as I am. So, here's the deal. We need to go to Cynthia. She's this real fancy lady, right? Real noble type. She got this, Bennett crown? Whatever. She's got this big hunk of jewelry, and she's gonna get it stolen by Fenris. And they're gonna blame this guy, Benjamin. I don't fucking know. So we need to get to Cynthia first, so we can, beat the shit out of Fenris. Who fucking cares, right? As long as we get there. If we steal it before he does? I mean, Fenris will look like an asshole, and if we can get the hell out of here. Right, I can. It's up to you.
So wait, you want to go into this place, wait out for Fenris? You think he's going to do the job himself?
I didn't think about that. Shit. All right, it'd be wiser to ransom off the crown to Fenris. Maybe even to Cynthia, shit. But if we get there before him and we know that Fenris is coming in, he's going to be shaking in his boots because how else is he going to get business done, right? Shit, we could ransom to get him right at our feet, right? I mean, this is a big thing. This is some Bennett crown. You know how big the Bennetts are now?
Well, I mean, yeah, the Bennetts are gone. Who knows? But sure, I'm sure that means that all their stuff is going to be way more valuable.
Exactly. So if we steal this crown first, huh? Live a villain, die a hero. Let's fucking do it. Fuck this. I'll start walking my way out. And before I walk all the way out, I look back to Malik. I stand there for a second. If I don't come back, you're a good kid. Love you, you idiot. And I open the door. Close it.
You hear him saying, but you don't even have a plan. And then the door closes and you're out.
All right. I'm going to start making my way to this Cynthia lady. I'm going to start walking. You know what? It's going to take forever to get there, obviously. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to try and look for a horse and carriage.
Yeah, there are certainly a few around the city. It's getting a little later, so the streets are a little more clear than they were before. But you're able to find one after a little while.
I'll stick the thumb out. I'll hitchhike.
Yeah, one pulls over.
Hey.
Yes.
Excuse me. Do you offer fare to... Would I have paid attention to where the mountain range was, even... Like, what it's called?
Well, so, you know that her family is from the mountain range area, but she is living in the city. The mountain range is well outside of the city.
So she is here with us in Tippert.
Yeah, that is what Mara said.
No idea specifically where that is. I'm back in South, right?
You're in South Pier.
Okay, so I will... Yeah, could you take me up to... any place less ratty than this, you know, north, anywhere. I'm looking for noble towns. I want to spend some coin.
He looks at you. You look at his cart, and it's like a horse and then really just a cart. It's not like a horse and carriage.
It's just
you know,
ratty
it seems
little...
like he probably uses it mostly for hay, but then like transporting hay from place to place, but knows that if he goes out at night, he can probably make a little coin taking drunk people from one place to another. That's pretty far north there, boy, but I reckon I could do that.
I'm willing to pay plenty. Look at me. I mean, come on. Right?
All right. Yeah, that'll be 5 gold then.
I take out 10 gold and I hand it to him.
Well, I only asked for 5, but okay.
I got faith in you. I'll hop in the carriage. Whisk me away.
Yeah. You start riding away. As you move past out of the South Dock, you start moving more through the city. Are you in your drow form or human form?
I'm gonna say he doesn't remember to do that, so he's in his drow form.
Yeah, the driver like is going, and he starts like taking a few looks at you as he's now like with you for a longer period of time. So you an elf there, buddy?
Elf? I guess, more like a nightmare. I don't know, like some sort of hell spawn, you know what I mean? Like, really undesirable. An elf, yeah. You get kicked out of a bar for being an elf, but
What I am? Come on. You get spat on, if you're lucky.
He hawks a loogie and spits it out. He looks at you, then looks at the coins that you gave him, and he shrugs, as if satisfied that I can deal with a freak show like this for a few days' wages, and drives on. You head out of South and start moving through the cities, the city proper, the more inland stuff, and the water to behind you and to the sides kind of starts to vanish behind the buildings. As you go get more in, the buildings are all made of stone. A lot of them start to get pretty tall. You know, this is a city that, for the most part, they tried to construct it in a way that would be able to withhold the crazy bad weather it gets and, you know, the waves of a giant ocean. Granted, a lot of the places on the dock end up having to get rebuilt constantly because nothing can weather that for too long. But as you get into nicer places, you start seeing more and more tall stone buildings. And eventually you get to a district that you know is a little more well-to-do.
What time of day is it right now?
It's late at this point. After the ride probably took an hour and a half to get across the city, like that far across the city.
Starting to finally catch my wind, given my drow heritage. I'm getting a little more lively. So then I'll, instead of just quietly humming to myself, I'm loudly singing, "Fuck you, Fenris, here I come." I'm tapping my cane on the ground and everything. Getting rowdy.
Okay. Eventually he drops you off. Well, nice to meet you. Have a good day. If you need another ride, let me know.
Hey, well, I appreciate it. I go out to stick a hand.
He does not shake your hand.
Right. The fourth hair move. I guess I'm employing it again. It just goes right back to his business, turns around. And I'm just gonna start aimlessly looking for whatever would look like some place this Cynthia woman would stay. No real plan. I look like a homeless man.
Are you asking anyone?
Before I ask anybody, I'm going to use masks of many faces.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to make myself look like a dashing young prince. I'm going to make myself like a coiffed brown hair, like very, very nice, tight-fitting clothes with like a very large, wide physique.
Okay, you can do that, certainly. You know, you look like a human Shrek.
Christ.
You look around and, you know, you ask a few people. Do you just say, what do you say?
I just waltz up to people. Oh, sorry. I'm looking for Cynthia. Do you know what Cynthia is? I don't even like say the last name. Cynthia.
Most people are like, no. Sorry, I don't know a Cynthia. And other people are like, yeah, which Cynthia? You know, I know a bunch of Cynthias. Cynthia Brumblebee, Cynthia made up name, you know, just a bunch of different bunch of different people. Eventually one person would say, like, ask you, like, oh, what are they like? Who is this Cynthia exactly? Young, old?
I believe she's young. I've been told she's beautiful. Her family lives up, you know, north. Do you know anything about that?
No, but a lot of the young people in this town like to check out the Worthless Note. It's a music tavern in town.
That's a peculiar name. Is this... Well, I can't be really seen in a place that has a... that doesn't have a reputation that supersedes them, but you say it's a noble place, right?
Fair amount of young nobles like to go there.
Excellent. Sounds like a place to be. Well, I thank you for this information. Wonderful coat, by the way. Looks beautiful. I'll be off.
Is the person you say that to wearing a coat?
Probably not.
Okay. That's what I figured. Yeah, they look. They're wearing like a, you know, a short sleeve tunic. I'm just like, okay. And then you walk off.
Excellent.
Head towards a Worthless Note?
Yes, but I'm going to change my disguise.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to change into... I'm going to turn into a sort of the girl next door of nobles. Like, not flashy and like outwardly attractive, but like fair in complexion, you know, doesn't get out much, very studious girl, like glasses, sort of hair and tresses flowing down.
Okay.
When I get to the worthless note, I don't want to go in per se. I kind of want to survey it, sort of check around it, like through windows and stuff.
Roll a perception check.
Okay. Nat 1, I'm leaning in with my fucking patch eye.
Yeah. You, like, get a basic lay of the land. It looks like a tavern. It's seemingly mostly young people. You do, like, as you're looking and you kind of turn your head, your eye patch, like, imagine there's, like, kind of a band around your head, you know, of how the eye patch sticks. It kind of gets stuck on, like, the windowsill and pulls back and slaps you. Which looks really weird to everyone else because they can't see the eye patch in your girl form. So it's just like they're looking at you for a second. You walked up to something, got snagged. There's a... And then you go, ow!
I guess so, like I'm like holding my eye. I'm just going to walk in. I'm like just embarrassed.
You walk in. As far as taverns that you're used to, this one doesn't have the typical stench of stale beer, smoke, and sweaty men. It actually smells kind of nice, like they're spraying some perfume or whatnot every once in a while to give it a good smell. There's some music being played and some pretty pitchy singing. You look around and you see two younger women, probably about the age that you are impersonating right now, singing on a stage as a band plays behind them. You recognize this song to be The Lovers of Tipport, kind of like a famous Tipport song that people like to sing. You get the idea that this is probably like some sort of karaoke night.
Ah, I'm going to start scanning the room while looking for Cynthia.
Okay. Roll another perception check. I'll give you this one at disadvantage because your eyes hurt.
18.
You look around. You see a lot of women who are dressed in finer clothes and seem to be a proper noble birth, maybe acting a little improperly in this bar, drinking a little more than they probably would around their parents.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't necessarily see anyone. I mean, you don't know what this woman looks like, so.
Oh my God.
Florence is not a detective. That's
Florence is gonna solve this case the way Florence would. He, like, kind of cups his mouth to, like, one side, and, like, while he's still this woman is, like, you know, sort of bashfully, like, tilting her head and all that, keeping her head down. But every now and then, he'll bark out a, "Cynthia! Cynthia, over here! Hey, yeah!" While he's just, like, staying over in the corner as this proper lady.
In his own voice?
Yeah, just, like, trying to, like, call out to her.
I'll have you roll... This is a weird one. I'm going to have you roll a sleight of hand check, though. It's kind of like seeing how well you're able to cover your mouth and say this.
A 9?
9. So you do it. You just yell, "Cynthia!" But the first time you kind of like forget to get your hand up in time. And be like, oh shit. Cynthia. Every once in a while.
Florence didn't think this through. I'm going to go sit up with these... You know what? Better idea. Even better idea. I'm going to take my leave, and I'm going to walk outside. I'm going to change disguises to another woman, but this one more ostentatiously beautiful. More gaudy jewelry, sort of like a tiara, and like many baubles in her hair. And I'm going to walk back in, and I'm going to try and sit with those girls specifically. The ones that are getting super rowdy.
Okay. They kind of look over. So do you just like walk behind the, like walk into an alleyway and just like walk out right away?
Or? No. I totally forgot to say, I'm going to wait at least like 5 to 10 minutes.
Okay. So you wait an acceptable amount of time and then come back in.
Right.
Yes. You walk in. The girls are at a table laughing, chatting. You just walk over to them?
Yeah, I'm going to walk over to them and sit down and order a drink before I say anything.
So you just, like, put a finger up, like...
Mm-hmm.
Okay. They give you, like, weird... They give you really weird looks as you just sit down. And they're like, excuse me, do we know you? Have we met?
Right. You're all tippled folk, right? I just need to know if I need to catch up or anything. How many drinks are we down, right?
Roll a charisma check.
Good God. Don't fuck me. Modded 20?
One of them looks at you like... this girl's gotta go. But another woman with red hair says, as long as you're by.
Of course, absolutely. Drinks are on me. The whole night.
They all look at each other and look at you and raise a glass and say, thank you. To our new friend?
Gina. Gina Delafloss.
Gina, pleasure to meet you.
Of course. And you are?
My name is Eleanor Foster.
Pleasure to meet you. And you all are?
The redheaded woman said her name was Eleanor.
Gotcha.
Another says her name is Veronica. The third one says her name is Juliana.
Okay, so Eleanor, Veronica, Juliana.
Mm-hmm.
All right. As we start, like, you know, drinking the night away, I kind of like three or so glasses, and I start like tracing the rim of the glass, and I try my best to look as downtrodden and pouty as I can. But Florence just doesn't understand other people in general, so he's definitely overselling it. He's just like making noises, like he's uncouth with it.
Mm-hmm. Eventually, Eleanor says, "What's wrong, honey?"
Oh. It's this one girl. I think she's going to be stealing my husband to be. I was in love with this one man, Jules. And I'm just afraid that I don't want to live without him. I love him so much. How dare she?
Roll a deception check.
Good God, please. Don't be so shit. 14.
The three women lean forward. Ooh, is this someone from town? Who is she?
Yes, she's this... I don't want to use improper language. Yes, I do. She's this bitch. Right, her name's Cynthia. I don't even know her last name. She's this prissy girl.
Veronica looks over to Eleanor. Eleanor, is one of your roommates named Cynthia? And Eleanor's like, yes, but Cynthia's not seeing anyone right now, so I'm sure it's a different one. You don't know her last name?
Did he ever actually catch it at any point?
Yeah, he definitely heard it. Latrick?
Yes, Cynthia Latrick, yes.
Oh. Yes, she's my roommate. But that does not sound like Cynthia. I think you must be mistaken. She would never try to steal your man. She's so sweet. She's the nicest girl I've ever met. One of my closest friends. I've known her for weeks. She's great.
I don't mean to discredit you. I'm sure that what she's shown you, she's probably great. And I thought the same thing, too. Have you been with her at night? Do you know where she is?
Well, yes. She has been living in my family's estate for a few weeks now. She came into the city after her parents died, needed a place to be. My father was friends with her father, so yeah, she's been staying with us. She's sweet, though. You would like her. You'd get along.
I don't know. I'd like to meet her, just so I know that it's not true. I need to know these rumors. I need this to be quelled. I just want to see her.
All right, roll a persuasion check.
Okay.
I'll give you advantage, too, because she's already a nat pretty 20. Drunk. Okay, didn't need it.
Didn't even need it.
Although a sober Eleanor would know that this is a bad idea. Drunk Eleanor, she don't give a fuck. Yeah, I think that'd be good. If you met Cynthia, you would know for sure that, you know, she's good. You'll love her, I promise.
That's excellent. We should see her now, obviously, right? We should patch this up immediately. I can't be living with this guilt any longer.
Yes, we'll finish this drink and then have another drink and then we can go.
Well, right? Glass up. Yes, of course.
She chugs.
Oh, shit.
They drop another drink, you know. They all drink them. And then eventually she's like, let's go on our way out.
Of course. Lead the way, please. Please.
She leads you down a few streets. You're starting to move further and further from like a very concentrated city area to a place where the houses are a little more spread out. There's still no real yards to any of the houses here. It seems like there's a little more of them. You know, it's not like suburb living by any means, but it's the small front and backyard that you see in houses in cities even today. And eventually you roll up to this relatively decently sized manor. And she pulls out some keys and walks forward. This is our place. Just come in, we'll say hey to Cynthia, and it'll be great, okay?
Of course, yes.
Unlocks the door. Go ahead.
Do I see like any guards or anything around? Like
not on the outside.
Okay. I'm gonna try and keep my eyes peeled. That's the one thing that I'm looking for.
Yeah, I mean, in the city in general, you've probably seen some guards as you've walked, but not like camped out by this house. Yeah, and you move in. You move inside. You see just right there on the inside is a man standing there. He has a sword on his belt. And as soon as Eleanor walks in, he says, Eleanor, it's good to see you home safe. Your parents have gone to bed. Is there anything I can order up for you? She says, no, well, maybe a little bit of food. We have a guest. This is my friend Gina. She's so great. We're going to go hang out with Cynthia, though. You good, Bobby? He says, please, Sir Robert. Call me Sir Robert. Okay, Bobby. And she walks up a staircase. And the other girls are, like, giggling behind her as you all walk.
Oh, that's sick. So Bobby is the only person we've seen so far other than these guys.
Mm-hmm.
Correct. Okay. Fuck it. I'll keep following them.
Okay. So, yeah, the staircase is kind of, like, in the middle of the main, I guess, atrium area. As you walk in, it kind of peels out to both sides, to the left and the right, and leads to almost like an inner balcony on either side that overlook the main room. And you see doors just lining the upstairs. And she leads you up the stairs and eventually comes to one on the far left side and knocks on it.
Cynthia, I want you to meet someone very important to me, so it's going to be very important to you. Coming in.
She tries to open it, but the door's locked.
You bitch.
She tries it again, and eventually you hear a voice being like, Ellie, come down. I'm opening the door. Don't worry. A woman opens the door. You see she has blonde hair. She looks to probably be mid-20s. She's in, like, pajamas. It looks like she was about ready to go to sleep, maybe even had fallen asleep for a little bit. She is holding a book in her hand, but, like, it's opened to, like, the back page, you know?
Oh, okay, yeah.
And just kind of, like, hanging from her side. So it doesn't necessarily seem like she was reading anytime soon. But, Eleanor, what do you want? You gotta stop knocking my door so late. I was like, I'm sorry.
This is my friend, Greena. Sorry. Gina. Hey, Gina.
Hey.
Cynthia looks between all of you and says, All right, well, thank you. I'm gonna be headed to bed. It was nice to meet you, Gina.
Cynthia, do you mind if I come in for a second? I have a confession.
Roll a persuasion check.
Good God. A 9.
She looks at Eleanor and kind of grabs Eleanor's arm and pulls her near and kind of is like, can we have a second? And like moves away and tries to shield, and you see her kind of like whispering to her and arguing. You can't make out what she says unless you want to try to kind of eavesdrop.
Yeah, fair game. Let's try.
All right, roll a perception check.
17.
Yeah, you hear her just being like, Eleanor, this is not okay. You can't just bring strangers to my door. Like, I understand you make friends out there, but I don't know her. And Eleanor's like, we let you stay in our house for free. And Cynthia's like, I appreciate that, but you still can't just knock on my door at any hours because I live here. And they just argue kind of back and forth like that for a while. Eleanor kind of moving out of the nice face that you had seen earlier in the night and maybe a little too irrational at this point from a few too many adult beverages to really be a nice person at the moment. But yeah.
Huh. Okay.
Eventually, Eleanor is like, all right, well, we'll leave you alone then, and starts stomping off and slams the door behind her, like, on Cynthia.
Okay. Could you two please excuse me for a moment? I think I had too much. I think I'm having the spits. Sorry. Where's the bathroom?
Eleanor's already stomped away.
Shit.
But Veronica points, it's over there. Points
right.
To a door down the hall.
And I just start running down the door. Close the door, and I'm going to wait for a little bit for people to kind of clear out. I'm going to lock the door first off. And then I'll wait.
Naturally.
Yeah.
Okay, so you lock the door and just sit there for a while. After a few minutes, you hear a knock on the door.
Mm-hmm.
And Juliana, it's her voice. She says, Gina, are you all right in there?
I'm going to be fine. Just give me 15 minutes at the most, please.
Okay, we're going to be in Eleanor's room. She said you can just head over if you need a place to sleep.
Thank you both. All of you, thank you. I'll be out in a moment. Please, I feel it coming back.
Okay. Feel better.
You hear her voice fading away.
Okay. Okay, we're gonna do the one Florence thing. We're gonna get up, and I'm gonna unlock the door. And I'm gonna open the door, and I'm gonna take a look around. What are the best ways out of here immediately?
Roll a perception check.
19.
Alright, from where you're at, you see the front door. You see at the moment Sir Robert's standing there. He is sitting, like, he was standing when you came in, mainly probably because he heard the door turning. And it's like, gotta look good. So, but he's sitting now, and he has a book to his side, just reading it. So there's the front door that you could get out of, but obviously he would see you moving through it. There are windows.
Yes.
On the second floor.
I'm going to self-defenestrate. I'm going to try and, like, sneak out of a window then. I'm going to try my absolute best. Any close window in proximity.
So the closest one would be down the hall where you just knocked on Cynthia's door.
Okay. Yeah. I'm going to try and sneak out that window.
Roll a stealth check as, like, there is a clear view of this hallway, of this walkway.
It's a nat one.
Okay. You, like, step up, take a breath, and start walking forward, trying to be very sneaky, but you trip on one of the banisters and it just makes a big thum sound, and Sir Robert looks over at you. Miss, are you okay?
I'm sorry. I just got really sick and I'm spinning, but I'm gonna be fine. Trust me. Please, trust me.
I'm gonna go back up. Sorry. I start stumbling my way back.
To the bathroom?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm going to try a different window.
Okay, so you would still need to, like, walk into that, like, walkway area that has the look down into the atrium. The other closest window would be walking partway down the stairs, up the other part of the stairs, to the other side. So it would be a lot further.
Fuck it. Yeah, it's probably better. Yeah, I'll do it. I'll try and sneak out that window.
Okay, you will kind of have to, like, sneak right past Sir Robert's line of sight. He was reading a book.
Motherfucker. And the other window that I was just at would not be in Robert's line of sight?
Correct.
Like, yeah?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's a place that he could see because it's technically on the second floor, but it has an overlook of this atrium area. You know, so you, and there's a banister, and you can see the person as they're walking down that little walkway. But it's not, like, directly in front of him. He would have to turn his head and look up.
Okay. Then I'll do that, then. That's fine.
Okay. Roll another stealth check.
A 19 this time.
Okay. Yeah, you try again. You creep up along. The floor squeaks beneath your feet once or twice, and you pause and, like, look down to the first floor from where you're at and see if Sir Robert notices. But he doesn't. He just turns the page of his book. And, yeah, you get to the window.
Okay. I'm gonna open up the window, and I'm gonna peek down. How sheer of a drop is it?
You're on the second floor, so it's about 20 feet. And from this angle, yeah, it's sheer.
Okay, I'm going to cast Featherfall on myself. And I'm going to sneak out that window, jump down.
Roll a sleight of hand check to open the window.
Oh, motherfucker. It's a 15.
Yeah, that's quite enough. You open it, step out, jump, snap your fingers to cast Featherfall, and land on the ground perfectly safe.
Right. I'm going to instantly change Mask of Many Faces to Human Shrek again.
Okay.
And I'm going to try to make my way to Cynthia's window.
So you're, like, going to climb up?
No. I just want to, like, align myself with Cynthia's window.
So she's on the second floor. But yeah, right. Yeah, you can do that. So pretty much you look up at the window you just came out of, take three steps over, look up, take three more steps, and you see a window right above you.
Okay.
You are in a bush, though.
I'm going to try and pick up some rocks so I can toss at Cynthia's window.
All right.
Some tiny little pebbles. Not rocks, just pebbles.
Yeah. All right, make a dex check. It's kind of like a throw attack.
Six.
All right, you throw one. It hits the window you just came out of. It takes a few pebbles to get up there, but eventually you hit her window. You have attracted the attention of a few passerbys who like look at you, and one of them stops the direction they're walking and kind of turns back the other way and starts walking away.
Awesome.
But eventually you see the flicker from of a candlelight from her window move closer to the window ledge, and it gets a little brighter, and you see the window open as she looks down. Who are you, and what are you doing?
Miss Cynthia, is that you? I've been looking everywhere for you.
I don't know who you are. I'm sorry. Can you please stop, or I'm going to have to report you to the guard.
I'm terribly sorry to bother you at this hour. It is I, Sir Julian, one of the nobles of Valia. I've been told that the most beautiful maiden in all the lands. I ask her for just one night. May I please? I happen to come up with this lie on the spot. Might I come in just for a moment? I have a great message to be delivering on to you.
Roll a persuasion check at disadvantage as you are some creepy dude standing outside her window at 1 a.m.
All right, I got a 12.
Look, I'm sorry, I don't know who you are. If you have any business that you want to talk to me about, you can schedule it with...
Fuck it. Don't even... And I snap the disguise off. All right, enough with that.
She gives out a little, scream and, holds her mouth.
Hey, I'm not that ugly, all right? And listen, I'm not a great guy either, but you have my word. I'm not gonna do any weird shit. But Cynthia, right? You're in danger, and it's not by me. And I'm the only thing standing between you and this one motherfucker. All right, so you need to cooperate with me on this one, all right?
Roll a persuasion check.
25.
Who?
There's a man coming. His name is Fenris Copperbron. And he's huge shit, alright? He's a huge threat. To you, to me. You need to prepare yourself because he's coming for that Bennett crown. And we're not gonna let him get it, alright?
Okay. What are you gonna do to help?
We're gonna get Tippert guard. We're gonna get somebody, right? Even if it's just me, I'm gonna protect that crown with my life. All right? Your family's honor or some dumb bullshit. And that leaves to these favors for the noble. Any do-gooding at all.
She nods. Well, I've certainly heard the name Fenris, and I would be devastated if something happened to my crown. Thank you for the warning, sir.
Yes, you might want to tell that Bobby character. Okay, and everybody else you can. I don't know when he's coming, so he'll probably be sending some men soon. Could you maybe, tell the guy up front that I'm not some, freak? I might have to, even if I gotta change clothes again, it's whatever. Just, I need full cooperation. I don't want you getting hurt out there.
I'm sure you've done enough here. We'll handle it. I appreciate the information, though.
Yeah, of course. Well, good night, I guess.
She nods and closes the window. You see her figure pass through the window in the upstairs hallway, and you imagine she's going down to talk to Sir Robert.
I get in a bush. Just sit in a bush. I'm not going anywhere.
Just waiting there?
Yeah, I'm just going to wait for a bit, see what happens.
Are you going to try to hide?
Yeah.
Yeah, alright, roll a stealth check.
Please don't fuck me on this one. 9.
Okay. You get in. You get the feeling that, if anyone's walking by, anyone else is walking by at this time of night, they'd probably see you. The people who were walking by before were kind of, seemingly the last stragglers out and about, but it's pretty late. So you wait around there. Eventually, you see her walk with the candle back up into her room. And you see standing in the upstairs window, just right there, is Sir Robert. So he has left his post by the front door and is just kind of out right now guarding her room specifically.
Okay. Well, shit. Ah, fuck.
I know what I gotta do, but I don't want to do it. And this is creepy standing out here, so... Motherfucker. I snap my disguise on, and I'm going to disguise as a tipper guard.
Okay.
And I'm going to get out of my bush, and I'm going to walk up to the front, and I'm going to wait at the front until I see any other guards so that I can catch their attention. It might not be ever.
No, it's actually not that long until you see the figure who had turned away as you were throwing stones earlier walk along now with three guards in tow.
Yeah, I saw him standing in front of that window throwing stones. Figured you might want to check it out.
They nod and say, thank you for the information. And walk towards the front, and they see you. Oh, did you get the call too?
Yeah, I looked around, but I didn't see anything. We must have ducked off somewhere. Just some kid.
Okay.
Hey, where are you all going after this?
We were going to head back to our post. Why do you ask?
I heard from someone that you're supposed to be planning a hit out here. I'm a little worried. The rumors are getting me a little shaken. That one person's a pretty credible source for me, too, and we might need some reinforcement. I'm staying here as guard. That's where I've been posted. What say you?
Roll a persuasion check.
Okay. 21.
And what's this hit, exactly?
You all know of Fenris, right, Copperbron?
Yes.
He's wanting to steal the Bennett crown, so I've heard. And obviously we can't let that happen. So I'm staying on the post. It sounds dangerous. He will probably be sending in men. Please, tell someone.
They look at each other, and the one that was talking to you says, all right, why don't you head back to the post, and we'll stay out here with him and watch the place in case anyone comes. If Fenris is involved, this is bad news for everyone.
Well, Bomb would be with you.
Yeah, they wait with you here. Two of them wait with you. They don't really make conversation with you because they don't know you. But, you know, you get one or two questions like, so, what post are you from originally?
Yeah.
What precinct are you in? You know? Yeah.
Double five.
All right, roll a perception check.
17.
Yeah, you at a point see a head peek out around a house ahead of you. Like not out of the house, but around from the side of it. See it peek out, look at all of you, and then move back.
Did you not see that?
See what?
Poked his head out. He was right across, and I point to where it was. He saw us.
We can go check it out if you'd like.
Maybe one or two, maybe. I say be careful.
One walks forward, looks around the corner. Looks back at you, puzzled. No one's here.
All right. Give me a shot. I'll try. Just take my post, if you will.
Okay. He takes your spot, and you go around the corner.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to look around.
Yeah, roll a perception check.
17? Again?
Yeah, you see just around the corner a little ways off, like just the quick footsteps of someone. You hear them, rather.
I'm going to try my best to follow those footsteps without being detected.
All right, roll a stealth check. Roll a stealth and investigation check.
Okay. 16 on the stealth, 11 on investigation.
Okay. You're able to move quietly, but you are struggling keeping up the pace. You do kind of follow the sound of it and then start following just prints you see in the ground. And you get a peek of someone now kind of just running down the road away from you and away from this house, wearing all black, you know, a smaller figure. You imagine some might mistake it as a child, but you can tell it's a halfling.
I guess I'll chase after it. Fuck it.
Okay. You start running. Roll an athletics check. Your favorite.
10.
Okay. You start running, just full sprint. This guy was kind of doing this stealth run, but as soon as he starts hearing your footsteps, he looks over and starts running as fast as he can. As he's going, though, he does trip over his feet.
What?
And rolls. Yeah, he rolled it too.
Rolls.
And you're able to catch some ground on him.
All right. I'm going to try my absolute fucking hardest to reach up to him.
Okay. So, like, to grapple him, essentially?
Yes, I'm going to try. And
we'll do athletics. He doesn't have to use athletics, but you're going to use athletics.
Yep. Sounds about right. It's a 7, Chief.
Yeah, you try to grab for him, but he ducks under and keeps running.
All right, I'm going to call out in my voice. You don't stop, buddy. I'm going to blast you one. And you don't want that. That's sick. That's absolutely nasty.
Roll intimidation.
6.
He is not scared. He keeps running.
I'm going to cast Levitate on him.
Okay. Con save?
Yes, a con save.
Okay. And your DC is 14?
Mm-hmm.
Nat 20. He keeps running through it. You see he kind of gets light for a second, but just keeps jogging as fast as he can.
All right, motherfucker. Last thing I got. Dancing lights. I'm going to send them out. And I'm going to make them, 4 of them in a trail, like Pac-Man. So wherever he goes, these dancing lights trail him. I'm going to at least try to keep up with that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Sure. Yeah, the 4 lights come up behind him. And yeah, you keep running after him, and he's just illuminated by it, trying to dodge out of the way and go behind any corner he can.
All right. Last try, motherfucker. You move one more step and I'm blasting you to shit.
Yeah, he's still running. He's not afraid of you at this point.
All right, I'm going to shoot an Eldritch Blast at him.
All right, roll to hit.
Say 25.
That will hit.
God damn. That's for 9 damage.
Okay. He gets hit and he like turns now a little scared of you. And he puts his hands up.
All right, what do you want? What do you want, man? Let's not get too crazy.
Who sent you? Why are you here running about all black? You're a criminal, right? I can tell you're a criminal. Yeah, criminal. And I take off my mask. Who sent you? Come on now. Don't give me any bullshit. If it's who I think it is, you might as well fess up.
Roll intimidation.
Mod at 20.
Yeah, I work for Fenris. What do you want?
All right, and is he coming? Are you scoping out the place?
No, you think Fenris is gonna do a job like this? No. Get someone like me to do it.
Is Min coming in? What, has he got like an employee? What's this? What has he got?
Me? I was gonna sneak in. I wasn't doing anything.
That's it? Just you? You were gonna sneak in and steal the crown. One little guy?
Yeah, it only takes one.
It really does, doesn't it? Well, all right. You should fucking scram. You see what I done, you can see what I do. Don't come after the fucking crown. Matter of fact, you want to keep that pretty head of yours, you're going to lead me to Fenris. Right now.
Roll a persuasion check. I'll give you advantage, because at this point you've... For a while you weren't scaring him at all, but now you have gotten into the point where he's finally listening.
Okay, 24.
Okay, I can take you to Fenris. Probably wants to see about your other eye anyway.
That's real sweet of you. And I snap my fingers and I turn into another halfling. We'll see about that. By the way, I don't need to know your name, but we're best buddies now, all right? Till I get there.
He leads you for a while. At this point, it is very, very late at night and very few good people are out on the streets. You guys head down south, but before you would get to South Dock, you turn towards the west and move to what's known as King's Pier. You know that this is kind of Fenris's stomping ground and where he does most of his business out of. And although clearly King's Pier is named for the King of Cortia, Fenris likes to pretend it's him. You get to the pier. Around here there are a few more people out at night. Again, no one doing anything good. And he takes you to a tavern restaurant area called the Crab's Corner. And he leads you inside. You see the entire room is cleared out, except for one table, where there are 3 half-elves sitting around talking to one hulking human man, who you immediately recognize as Fenris. He's built in such a way that, you know, with like the right leverage, he could easily crush your spine. And he looks up at you, and the halfling dressed in black, and passes a comb through his tidy brown hair. Why are you back from the job so quick? Did you get it? The halfling shakes his head no. Boss, this one wanted to see you.
I'll snap my fingers and take off my disguise.
He looks up at you and gives you a toothy smile. Good to see you again, kid.
Yeah, Fenris. It's been real great.
It's always good to see you. He gives you a smaller smile now and just itches below his right eye.
Bennett Crown, huh?
What about it?
It's not yours anymore. It's mine. I have it. Sorry to say.
I was knew you headed into to steal something good, kid, but that's why I'm trying to get you to work for me. We have work here for you, work that'd be good for you.
Fenris, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't look up to you. I don't see you as some figure in my life. I see you as an equal. And I did this to prove something. And I'm starting to see something. Something I didn't have the foresight involved in. I don't think it matters to me, any of this. I've been trying to prove I'm better to you. Better than everybody in this fucking tavern. And what has it gotten me? You took my fucking eye. You stole my eye out of my fucking head, because that's how shit works. What has it got me? I don't want to end up like you, Fenris. You think you're some king. You think you own this place. You're an asshole, and you stole everything from me. And I thought stealing was the right thing to do. Because ain't nobody deserve everything. But you especially don't. If you want that crown so damn bad, it's still there. But if that's really something you want, fuck it. You're gonna keep doing crimes? Tippet's gonna keep being a shit city. And I get it now. It's because of you and me. That's why Tippet fucking sucks. It's because of us. I'm not asking you to change your ways or anything. Of course not. Old habits die hard. But I'm through with this. And I thought I was supposed to gouge your fucking eyes out or some horrible shit. I don't need that from you. I ain't sorry. He just looks down at the floor.
Roll a persuasion check.
Okay. 19.
He considers you for a few long moments, and he snaps his fingers. One of his attendants walks over to him, and he whispers in the ear, and then the man walks down a set of stairs. Kid, if I knew I would snuff out one of the most talented criminals I've ever seen by taking your eye, I would have never done it. I thought I'd make a real thief out of you. It is what it is, though. Tipport's my city. You can call it shit, but it's home. Doesn't need to be yours, though. The man who went downstairs walks up now, and he's holding a little jar with some liquid in it, and something circular inside. You can have it back. I don't need it. Have a nice life somewhere else, kid. Don't let me see you in this fucking town again. And the man hands you a jar, and as you look at it, you see it is your thing once lost. You're a little surprised that he held on to it, but at the same time, this is the exact sort of thing, you know, Fenris would do to someone else, so why not you too?
I hold the jar up with my eye in it into the light. I kind of squint. I put it down in my chest. Fuck you, Fenris. I ain't ever had something like this. You took everything from me, but fuck. You're a good man. You're a better man than anybody else I know. I'm out of here, but goddammit, Fenris, I love you to death. And I hate to say that. Goodbye. I ain't coming back. And he turns around, starts walking out. Oh, and before he leaves, raises a cane to Silver Square and throws it to the floor. Figured you'd need it anyways, old man. Good luck. He walks out.
As you walk out, he gives you one last nod, and you leave. You get a few of your things together, grab your bags, talk to Malik a bit. Do you ask him to come with you?
Yeah, I mean, why not? Just to see.
Roll a persuasion check.
A 14.
He gives you a big hug as you ask him. Sorry, man. Just my home. Can't leave you now.
Hey, buddy. Hug's enough. You're the best henchman anybody could ask for. You know that?
Yeah, I told you I was.
Yeah, you did, asshole. Yeah, you did. I'll send you mail, but, you know, don't expect any money or any shit. Tessa, Mara, whatever they are, they'll kill me if I don't show up, so.
He gives you a big nod and a last goodbye, and you head out, and after all your stuff is together, and you wait the in the amount of time they asked you to, you head to the airship dock, get aboard their ship, and fly off to a new adventure.
On the ship, if I have any moment just by myself, I want to cast Augury and see what fate lies ahead of me.
The omen that comes out is woe. And that is where we will end the session.
Oh boy, he would smile big at that. That was great.
Thank you, Flynn. I hope you like that. Yeah.
Are you shitting
so
me?
So much differently than I would have ever imagined.
I expected also, a big battle.
There were options for it, just never came down to it.
I was expecting the whole place to be burning.
It's possible. For anyone who stuck around throughout this whole thing, thank you for listening. Thank you for your time. I hope you enjoyed this. I will be back with another episode soon, and look forward to having more Once Upon a Roll. Thanks again, Kyle, for playing.
Hey, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Have a great day, evening, or night, whatever time it is for you, and goodbye, everyone.